Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back with you as we began a journey yesterday through some really important passages in Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to kind of get into the bulk of Galatians 2, 18 through 21, just three verses. And I think we're going to take it through the whole week here. We'll see. We might get into chapter 3. We might not. We'll see what the Holy Spirit has to say. But these verses, Galatians 2, 18 through 21, are really a key understanding of what it means to be a disciple. What does it mean to actually follow Jesus? What does it mean to be alive to Christ and in Christ? And if you were with us yesterday, we began to get into this discussion of the law. And Paul talks about the law so much. And I think because we don't quite have the same relationship with the law, we can tend to kind of skip these parts and be like, this doesn't apply to me. This doesn't apply to me. Like, oh, we don't have the law in the same way. Like, yes, we have laws, but we didn't have 613 laws that kind of determined our righteousness. You know, that was our moral code in that same way. And I remember we were actually doing a Bible study on Romans a while ago, and what kept coming up was the law. And I remember one of the guys who's in our Bible study, he's like, can't we just skip this? Like, this really doesn't apply to us now. It only applies to the Jews. And so why do we have to know it if it only applies to the Jews? And that temptation is real and that temptation is there. But the reality is we have to understand this, because as we understand what Paul is talking about here, we can see through a spiritual lens what has really happened to us through our baptism. What has really happened to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, how God has changed us, what he's done in our hearts, all of these different things. And we see the lens. It does apply to us. Friends, this applies to us, because what we began to talk about yesterday is the whole heart of what does it mean to be justified. And in Catholicism, justification and sanctification go hand in hand. But Paul's saying, what is the role of the law? Because before Jesus came, the law was given to the Jews, was given to the human race to say, without Jesus, we have to try to manufacture our own righteousness. We have to try to maneuver it. We have to try to wrestle with it. We have to try to make it work for ourselves. And that's not the way that God intended it. And so I just want to say, as we're going in, the law is not bad. The law is not evil. And so Paul's not just saying, like, the law as in, like, the works that God wants us to do, the covenant he wants us to follow. The law is also encompassing the requirements of the law, or the way that we were expected to keep the law as a way to righteousness and salvation. So the law, think of it like this, was before the way for us to make it to God, to share in right relationship with him. And this is why God gives us Jesus. The Father gives us Jesus. Because it's not possible for us to fulfill the just requirement of the law. And so it's not the fact that the law is bad. The law is good. It was given to us by God. But the chasm, the gap, that we cannot fulfill the just requirement of the law. And that hangs over us. That hangs over us. And so Jesus comes. He comes and he fulfills what is fulfilled in the person of Jesus is the just requirement of the law. So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, help us understand these words, which are sometimes tricky, which are sometimes hard to carry. Help us understand what God is doing, what God is saying. Help us understand how this applies to us. Help us understand the great work of what God has done in us. Help us to receive. We've already received through our baptism your righteousness, Jesus. Help us to live in that. Help us to touch us, the power of that. Help us receive that through your power right now. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read these passages again, and then we're going to get back into it. And with some help from the catechism, we're going to understand what God is saying to us today. But if I build up again those things which I tore down, then I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. This idea, right, we said yesterday, when we go off independently and we go back to the things that we previously tore down, we're proven to be transgressors. It shows us how sinful we are, how broken we are, how we can't do it alone. But then verse 13, for I through the law died to the law. I through the law died to the law. There's a lot of things we read with Paul where you're like, Paul, is this just a tongue twister? There's so many sentences. Paul is also like, not to shade Paul, he's also the king of like run-on sentences. But it's like, this sounds like, you know, like he sells, she sells down by the seashore or whatever. Like, this is sometimes what it sounds like Paul is talking. Like, for I through the law died to the law. What do you mean, Paul? How did you die to the law through the law? Right, because what did we just say? Jesus, he says over and over and over again, I did not come to abolish the law. This is why justification cannot be separated from works. Faith cannot be separated from works. He says, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. So Jesus Christ, he is the one who's the fulfillment of the law. God's wrath comes down upon him on the cross. In his death on the cross, the requirements that we could not fulfill by the law are now fulfilled. Jesus, the perfect man, fulfills perfectly the just requirements of the law. So you have that on one side. Remember that Jesus does not come to abolish the law. He comes to fulfill the law. So his death and resurrection and his being seated at the right hand of the Father is a fulfillment of the law. Now us, we have us when we're baptized, when we're brought into the family of God, we have an initial justification. By the grace we received in baptism, we are justified, and we learn, Paul says in many places, that through our baptism, we are crucified with Christ. We die with Christ and are raised with him through our baptism. So if we die with Christ, if our old self dies with Christ, our sinful nature, our sinful self dies with Christ on one hand, and then what did we say is happening when Jesus dies on the cross and is resurrected from the dead? What happens? He's fulfilling the law. So we're going in a way through the law. We are attached to Jesus. Jesus is in us. We receive through his death and resurrection what he has done in the law, what he has done through the law. He has fulfilled the law, and where he goes, he takes us with him. So Paul's saying, through the law, I have died to the demands that the law put on me that I could not fulfill on my own. That's a very important distinction. The demands that the law put on me for righteousness that I could not fulfill on my own, because now I have God's righteousness through Jesus. The Catechism says this, 1987, the grace of the Holy Spirit has the power to justify us. That is to cleanse us from our sins and to communicate to us the righteousness of God through faith. So by grace received in baptism, and we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, the believer dies to sin and to the old self, to the law, and rises in new life to Christ. Therefore, dying to the law, this phrase, it's not rejecting legal observance. It's not saying like, oh, we don't have to do that. I mean, there's some laws we definitely don't keep anymore, like mixing cotton and like leather, or like, you know, all of these different laws that the Jews had. Dying to the law, but it's not rejecting legal observance, because God still wants us to do good works. He still wants us to be holy as he is holy. But we actually are entering a new state of being. We're entering a new reality where God's spirit fulfills the law within us. For I, through the law, died to the law. This is why it matters to us, because it's not just that he did something in the Jews. He did something in us. That if Jesus did not do this, there would be a demand on your life that you could never fulfill. And friends, some of us are, even with the justification of Jesus, some of us are living with that weight on us. And God's saying, let me do it. You know, there's a book that I love called I Believe in Love, and it's about St. Therese's spirituality. It was a retreat given about St. Therese's spirituality. And the writer who's giving these conferences on St. Therese's spirituality has this great line that he's talking about St. Mary Margaret Alacoque, who God revealed the devotion to the Sacred Heart to. And she said, God spoke to me, and Jesus spoke to me, and I finally understood. And what he said was, let me do it. He was saying, you're always inviting me into your heart, but never permitting me to enter. You're always inviting me places, but never permitting me to actually enter. And so many of us, friends, need to begin to live under the weight, not of condemnation, not of all of the ways that we cannot do it ourselves, but the things that Jesus does through us and the freedom that we've been given through Christ. We are not living under the weight of the unfulfilled law. We are living alive to God. Because he's not just saying, okay, you're dead to the law. You died to the law. Good luck. Now let's see how you get back. He's saying, you are dead to the law. And another place in Romans chapter 7, he says, you're dead to sin and alive to Christ. He's saying, through the law, you have died to the demands of the law because Christ has fulfilled them. And now you might live to God. So Paul always puts those two things together. He's saying, you've been set free, the demands. And here's the thing. It's not like the legal obligations go away or are erased. They're just fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, this is a great freedom. Not because this was like erased and it doesn't exist anymore, but through the right workings of the law, Jesus has paid your debt. Jesus has set you free. But now, this means something. For freedom, Christ has set us free, so that you may not fall back into the bonds of slavery, but you may live in the freedom of the children of God. What does it mean to be free? It means to be alive to God, alive to the things of God, living in true life. There's so many of us who are living and we're not really living, and we're just kind of like letting our circumstances take over life. Oh, this is so hard and everything is negative, and my view of life of like, well, this is hard and I'm tired and da 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 da, I'm going through this again. And yes, we have seasons of healing. We have seasons where things are hard, but even in those seasons, God is inviting us to say, it's not that you don't feel like things are hard anymore. The feelings can be there. The pain's going to be there, but he's saying, you are now alive to God. So look alive, be alive, live alive, because God has put a new power in you, an animating factor of life that the Holy Spirit communicates to you, the very righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, which makes us alive with Christ. Join me again tomorrow as we continue on this Galatians chapter 2 passage. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.